This book belongs to the most rare of men. Perhaps not one of them is yet alive. It is possible that they may be among those who understand my Zarathustra. How could I confound myself with those who are now sprouting ears? First the day after tomorrow must come for me. Some men are born posthumously. The conditions under which anyone understands me, and necessarily understands me, I know them only too well. Even to endure my seriousness, my passion, he must carry intellectual integrity to the verge of hardness. He must be accustomed to living on mountain tops, and to looking upon the wretched gabble of politics and nationalism as beneath him. He must have become indifferent, he must never ask of the truth whether it brings profit to him or a fatality to him. He must have an inclination, born of strength, for questions that no one has the courage for the forbidden, predestination for the labyrinth. The experience of seven solitudes. New ears for new music. New eyes for what is most distant. A new conscience for truths that have hitherto remained unheard. And the will to economize in the grand manner, to hold together his strength, his enthusiasm. Reverence for self, love of self, absolute freedom of self. Very well, then. Of that sort only are my readers, my true readers, my readers foreordained. Of what account are the rest? The rest are merely humanity. One must make one's self superior to humanity, in power, in loftiness of soul, in contempt. 1. Let us look each other in the face. We are Hyperboreans, we know well enough how remote our place is. Neither by land nor by water will you find the road to the Hyperboreans. Even Pindar, 1, in his day, knew that much about us. Beyond the north, beyond the ice, beyond death, our life, our happiness. We have discovered that happiness, we know the way, we got our knowledge of it from thousands of years in the labyrinth. Who else has found it? The man of today. I don't know either the way out or the way in. I am whatever doesn't know either the way out or the way in, so sighs the man of today. This is the sore of modernity that made us ill. We sicken on lazy peace, cowardly compromise, the whole virtuous dirtiness of the modern yeah and nay. This tolerance and largeur of the heart that forgives everything because it understands everything is a sirocco to us. Rather live amid the ice than among modern virtues and other such south winds. We were brave enough, we spared neither ourselves nor others, but we were a long time finding out where to direct our courage. We grew dismal, they called us fatalists. Our fate, it was the fullness, the tension, the storing up of powers. We thirsted for the lightnings and great deeds. We kept as far as possible from the happiness of the weakling, from resignation. There was thunder in our air, nature, as we embodied it, became overcast, for we had not yet found the way. The formula of our happiness, a yeah, a nay, a straight line, a goal. 1. Cf. the 10th Pythian Ode. See also the 4th book of Herodotus. The Hyperboreans were a mythical people beyond the Rhipean Mountains, in the far north. They enjoyed unbroken happiness and perpetual youth. 2. What is good? Whatever augments the feeling of power, the will to power, power itself, in man. What is evil? Whatever springs from weakness. What is happiness? The feeling that power increases, that resistance is overcome. Not contentment, but more power, not peace at any price, but war, not virtue, but efficiency, virtue in the Renaissance sense. For 2, virtue free of moral acid. The weak and the botched shall perish, first principle of our charity. And one should help them to it. What is more harmful than any vice? Practical sympathy for the botched and the weak, Christianity. 3. The problem that I set here is not what shall replace mankind in the order of living creatures, man is an end, but what type of man must be bred, must be willed, as being the most valuable, the most worthy of life, the most secure guarantee of the future. This more valuable type has appeared often enough in the past, but always as a happy accident, as an exception, never as deliberately willed. Very often it has been precisely the most feared, hitherto it has been almost the terror of terrors, and out of that terror the contrary type has been willed, cultivated, and attained, the domestic animal, the herd animal, the sick brute man, the Christian. 4. Mankind surely does not represent an evolution toward a better or stronger or higher level, as progress is now understood. This progress is merely a modern idea, which is to say, a false idea. the European of today, in his essential worth, falls far below the European of the Renaissance. The process of evolution does not necessarily mean elevation, enhancement, strengthening. True enough, it succeeds in isolated and individual cases in various parts of the earth and under the most widely different cultures, and in these cases a higher type certainly manifests itself, something which, compared to mankind in the mass, appears as a sort of Superman. Such happy strokes of high success have always been possible, and will remain possible, perhaps, for all time to come. Even whole races, tribes and nations may occasionally represent such lucky accidents. 5. We should not deck out and embellish Christianity. It has waged a war to the death against this higher type of man. It has put all the deepest instincts of this type under its ban. It has developed its concept of evil, of the evil one himself, out of these instincts, the strong man as the typical reprobate, the outcast among men.